not
I'm
to start.
I'm actually a freelance writer, so believe me, I've done a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah. This is when it becomes the obsession. That's when you get. I don't even know that we need to actually. If you just rotate a little bit, we can pick that up pretty nicely.
Behringer's, really? Wow.
What do you use, Billy?
They convinced me to go out with them.
Yeah.
Are you not even using the mic that I brought? Ugh.
Do you want the Shure?
No. I use the Shure SM58s.
Okay. Well, what time is it? I don't think it, yeah, it's after 8, so we'll just get this going.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's 8 a.m. exactly, on the dot.
Is it? Oh, okay.
So if you start now, hurry. 8:01, you're going to be late. No, you've got to do. Hi, everybody, and welcome to. Hurry.
Hello.
You're losing time.
Curse you, sir. What did you do? You just killed something.
Thank you. My voice can kill electronics. Thank you.
Yes, well done, sir. Yes, and he's a radio professional. All right, good morning, everyone, because no one else is coming this early. Next year, we'll make this later.
Bigger than because we expected.
This is true. After the poker game last night, they wanted to kill me because I'm sorry. By the way, my name's Dave. I host Screen Geeks Radio over at ScreenGeeks.com. I'll let you go next, sir.
My name's Chris. I host the Jesus Geeks at JesusGeeks.com.
Helps me turn your mic up more.
Oh, yeah, it does. And I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn, and I'm with GeekRadioDaily.com. Ding. That's an inside joke. You get that, right?
Yes. So I will just ask, does everyone know what a podcast is? We'll just start there. Cool. All right. Do you know how you come up with your idea to do a podcast? How did you start doing yours, sir? Besides the whole being a radio guy.
Besides the whole being a radio guy thing, when it really started, it was a company called Geek Label T-Shirt Company. The two guys that ran it, they're like, "You ever heard of this thing called podcasting?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, "If we did a podcast, could we reach out to people?" I'm like, "Free advertising? Yeah, you could do that. Could you help us?" Huzzah. We very rarely ever talked about T-shirts because I basically turned it into the kind of radio show that I didn't get to do. We are stealth geeks by nature. We're not as geeky as we once were. The kids that were roaming around still at 2 o'clock in the morning in their Joker outfits, they've got the time and they've got the money. The rest of us, we have jobs, and we got to fit that geek in. So we were looking at it from that kind of thing. Looking at the world from a geeky point of view, if you will.
We're gonna work that in.
You like that?
I do.
Very nice.
Wait till I get to all the geek without the weight.
There you go. Yes. I personally, Screen Geeks Radio is a show that's devoted to theatrical releases of movies, TV, releases on DVD, things like that. I actually do the show with a cohort who teaches film at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And I've grown up in movies my whole life. My uncle does special effects in Hollywood. We just love movies. We talk about movies all the time. That's the key to if you want to do a podcast, find out what you talk about with your friends all the time. Because first of all, if you ever want to do a podcast, it means you have a little bit of ego, and that's a healthy thing. You have something to say, you want other people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
No, not you. No, you're the exception to the rule.
Thank you.
Good night. What the heck's going on with
this? I didn't do it that time.
I know.
That was not me.
That was Chris. It's all Chris's fault.
Second rule of podcasting, get good equipment.
Oh.
So you're saying I should have brought my board?
Oh, dang.
I don't know if I could have got mine through. Yeah, okay.
But the key is, someone's always going to want to listen to what someone has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we'll get to the equipment stuff. That's not even important. It's having friends, people you have a chemistry with. If you can hang out talking with someone about the BSG finale for an hour and a half without breathing, that's a good place to start. Even if you don't make it a Battlestar podcast, it's something to get things started. So that's what we did. We've taken our love of movies, and now we're here as press where you get to talk to the guests and do all that fun stuff. That's the other fun thing. Do a podcast so you can try to talk to the people that you really like. You know,
I will be talking to Katie Sackhoff today, and I'm very happy about it.
And how long until that happens?
We don't know because it's been rescheduled.
Because we're going to reschedule. But
he had it down to the minute.
The plane is allegedly at 9:30, so that's going to drop down in like 1 hour and 53 minutes. Not that I'm upset.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah, give or take. Chris, how did you get into doing this? You do...
23. The Jesus Geeks? Yeah. Yes. I got involved because, one, I'm a huge podcast listener. I got a great job where I can listen to my iPod for 40 hours a week as I work. and I'm big into the sci-fi and fantasy stuff. But being a Christian in this environment, I just noticed a tendency in a lot of podcasts when it got into matters of God and faith and religion, there's a very derogatory tone in a lot of podcasts. And I am not somebody who's going to shout anybody down. I believe in America you have the right to say whatever you want to say. So I decided to start my own and give an alternative view, and that's how I got mine going. And it kind of grew just from entertainment and stuff. As I say, we do entertainment, culture, and a geek lifestyle from a Christian point of view, so it can go anywhere from, like as you said, the BSG finale to what's going on Terminator to stuff like, as I see going on in the world, just on a theological point of view. It's, as I say, my podcast is my therapy, so...
That's true.
Is a therapeutic thing. When you read about Jack Black becoming the Green Lantern theoretically, it gives you a forum to scream, no, for the love of Pez, no. So it really gives you – the internet has opened up ways for us as a geek community to express ourselves that weren't around 10 years ago. I mean, between being able to start a blog for nothing or next to nothing if you want to own it outright – to being able to get the equipment to start a podcast for like $50 at most. The technology is wonderful because it gives everyone a voice. The kicker of it is everyone has a voice. Mm-hmm. There's some podcasts out there that are just so... they're not up to the standard. And I'm not talking audio quality. I'm talking just... some people just like to hear themselves talk. There's the healthy level of ego I was talking about earlier where you have something to say and you want people you want to be able to share that. And then there's the self-involved people who think I'm a podcaster and I'm special. I'm sure there's probably 50 podcasters walking around this thing who aren't doing a panel, who haven't published that they're doing anything.
Talking to the friends, look, there's this panel. I didn't get invited.
Yeah.
And then they see the time and like, thank God.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there is that. There is that.
Anybody play poker last night again? Wow. We ended about 1:30.
No, it was 2.
Was it?
It was 2 when I called.
Never mind.
You. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Dedication.
So, does anyone have any questions? We'll start there about coming up with a topic or motivations or anything like that. Fair enough.
Cool. I do have a question. Is there, because you guys are actually involved in the scene, as it were, is there something that you guys actually think is lacking that really you feel would be something, a good addition? I know that there's a lot
of... You mean as far as like a topic?
Exactly.
Man.
How to make money in podcasting.
Yeah, that's the first one.
That's the big one.
Don't do this because you want to get rich.
No.
I promise you.
No.
Actually, you'll probably get a little poorer doing this.
A little? Okay, I just blew $500 on a field recorder, okay? Yeah.
Did you bring your
tricorder? Not with me. But
He didn't even bring it with you.
I had to make room in the bag for everything else.
Make room.
Yeah. That's okay. Did I bring it? I did not. Topics that are lacking...
Wow. You know, I'm trying to think about that.
The forum is...
Go to Podcast Pickle and just search.
Yeah.
There's a podcast on everything. Yes.
Podcast Pickle.
It's like another...
iTunes is not the only place to find podcasts.
Yeah. No. In fact, a lady last night playing poker, she said that she stopped listening to podcasts because iTunes crashed her computer, and I said, stop using iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, how would I get podcasts? I'm like...
Podcast Pickle is a very good one.
Podcast Pickle, you can use Juice. You go to my website and just click play from the main page. It's right there. You don't have to worry.
Even like Google and Yahoo are now doing podcast aggregators.
Microsoft Outlook has something in the new version now that was out in the last office will capture RSS.
Yeah, iTunes is the most visible, but it's not the only.
Podcast Pickle is probably the next best one. It's just podcastpickle.com. Do a search. For whatever topic you want at all.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get us listed on. I need to get myself listed on there. I'm a slacker. I know. We'll get to that in the marketing. I know.
Yeah, marketing. Yeah.
That's what we do. As far as topic, really, I think there is no topic that's lacking because if you want to do look for a podcast on something, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quality of the podcast. Some people think that they have to make an hour and a half long show. If you can get away with a 20-minute show and you say what you have to say... Nothing wrong with a 20-minute show. There are a lot of people who like to listen to a podcast on their drive into work, on their bus ride, whatever. They don't have time for an hour and a half show on the way into work. They want something they can listen to in one shot, get the whole thing, and be good to go. So there's really a market for every kind of podcast out there.
I've heard good 10-minute podcasts.
Yes. You know, one of my favorites.
Astronomy is a good one.
Which one?
Slacker Astronomy.
Yes.
Yeah, because those are always pretty short. They're like 10, 15-minute stops.
I feel like short ones, there's 2-minute Danger Theater.
2-minute Danger Theater.
Yes.
Movie Mantras. It's a guy out in the UK who actually does. His podcast is a minute long. it's about, you know, bringing, culling great wisdom from movie lines, very firmly tongue in cheek. But, you know, if you want to do it, don't let length at all.
Not gonna say it. You can keep going. You can talk. Don't look at me.
Go for it.
No.
That's it. I was done.
That's what she said. Thank you.
There you go. Okay. It is early. All right. We're going on the loopy side of things.
Yes.
I haven't had caffeine yet, so forget
it. Or breakfast.
So let's start with talking about what kind of equipment you need for a podcast.
You could start with just a headset mic and download Audacity for free on your computer, and you can probably get a podcast going for $20.
At audacity.sourceforge.net.
Mm-hmm. If you just do a search for Audacity, it's AUDACITY.
Right. Or if you have a Mac, like I do, GarageBand comes free with right Macs. There.
So
you can use that to create your podcast?
Yes, that's what I do. That's what I use for mine. So, and
GarageBand,
I like it.
GarageBand is definitely better than Audacity. Audacity is just free for us PC folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, a headset from Walmart for $20, and you are good to go. It may not be the best sound quality, but you don't. As long as it's legible.
But that's also.
And you don't hear it like this. I did that for the people listening because we're going to stream this later. You're good to go.
No.
Exactly.
Well, that's also a setup if you're just doing it by yourself too.
Yeah, it really depends on your personality. Some people do fine just doing a solo show. I've got 3 to 4 guys on the show, 2 to 3 guys on the show with me at all times. I've tried doing a solo show. I realize I suck at it. It's just not my strength.
Having more people buries your inadequacies.
It does, because at that point, he made his point, well, we could have some dead silence while trying to collect thoughts for our next thing, although you never have a problem coming up with something to say.
No, I'm pretty good at running my mouth.
Yes. See, he can do a solo show. He does at times on The Daily Show.
Well, because my partner sometimes doesn't show up.
But if you have someone else with you, once you finish your train of thought, chances are the person you're talking with has a train of thought ready to go, either that's going to complement what you got or take the discussion in another direction, which helps keep people interested, keeps them engaged, and keeps them from deleting your RSS feed.
Because that's a sad moment.
I think, though, when it comes to solo shows, those are definitely going to be a little more scripted. You should have what you're going to say planned out. If you want a good example of a good solo show, I'd say check out Geek Acres. That's a good one.
Yeah. Geek Acres? I haven't heard that one yet.
It's a place to be.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
The rimshot button.
Yeah, I know. I didn't bring this
out. If I had brought my laptop.
I know, yes. The cool thing about these again, I talk about how cheap it is to do things. There's not only software to do the editing. There's software that Flynn came across. It's called Jazzler Show.
Jazzler Show.
It actually makes a radio-style soundboard that lets you program in different sound clips.
Yeah, 5 folders with, I think, 20 or 30 drops on each page, and it goes 5 pages down. So you could have a total of like 150 different things. So for my show now, I've got a daily show, and then on the weekend, well, on a Monday actually, we do the hour and a half long show, because the daily show is 15 minutes. And I've got it all broke down. Okay, this is a daily show setup, this is a weekly show setup, here's my commercials I play, here's my return liners. So yeah, way of organizing everything, if you like to have a bunch of fancy drops, because I do. I think it makes it interesting, because trying to make it stand out just a little bit. There's a bunch of, especially with geeky podcasts, there's a million geeky podcasts out there. But none, by God, are as entertaining as mine.
What was
that software
again?
Jazzler Show.
J-A-Z-Z.
I think it's double Z?
Yeah. L-E-R Show. Well, if you do search, it is free. I think there's a pay version and there's a free version.
There's a pay version. You don't need it.
You don't need that version. No.
I also think it kind of shows there's two different styles of doing your podcast. Billy does everything live. He, like with the Jazzler, plugs everything as he goes.
Yeah.
For a lot of my stuff, I record the segments, and then I go through and I will edit in certain things, like the ads, the intro, the outros, any other little things here or there. Because for me, I just want to get what I have to say out and get that recorded. So
you can do things live streaming. I do the same thing as well. That's really where Jazzler Show comes into play. If you want to do the thing where you just do a stream of consciousness and put in an ad, put in your intro and outro in post-production, I know you don't need no stinking post.
No stinking post.
You can do it, and you will do it initially. That's where Audacity comes into play. It's got things where you can put out a blank space on a track. Say your show's an hour and a half. You set it for an hour and 29 minutes, 50 seconds, and from there you bring in your outro music. You can do all that in post-production, so you don't have to worry about getting all the bells and buttons and whistles and everything going, because it's not going to happen at the first.
Somebody drops a bad word, they're not, and you don't want that explicit tag, you can go back in and
put a beep in there.
Highlight it, or you can put a beep, you can highlight it, generate silence. With Audacity, you can also reverse their audio, so instead of crap, you get proc. I kept it clean.
There you go. Well done, sir, because we don't want the explicit tag for this.
Oh, no, no, not for this.
No, not at all. Not at all. So it really lets you play to your strengths, and it lets you build your strengths, as podcasting does. When you start doing things in post-production, if you have a half-hour show, plan on about an hour and a half of post-production. Just because, A, you're going to listen through the whole thing, you're going to take out the lip smacks, you know, the, well, you know.
Likes and you knows.
And all that, when you get through all that and adding in the drops and then encoding it all into MP3 format, it's going to take a good chunk of time. However, you don't need a high-power PC either, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Oh, wow. You don't need a high-powered PC. You can use my dying laptop. My laptop was completely dying, but I was still able to use it as long as I didn't have any other resources going until I got my new laptop. It's just a matter of planning around and knowing. Because I was getting skipping. For a while, my show was skipping.
Oh, yeah.
Digital file skipping. It's interesting. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, but it's fixed now.
Yes. So does anyone have any questions about the basic setup or anything like that?
Headset and microphone.
You can go, you know, the gamer headsets that have the microphone built in. There are quite a few. The Slash Filmcast, there's a big movie website out there called slashfilm.com. And the guy who runs that does a video cast with another guy, and they just have headset mics. Their weekly podcast, they have people Skyping in from all over the place, which we'll get to Skype in a minute, probably next. And they don't use, you aren't running off of a mic, going into a soundboard, going into everything. So again, it just illustrates, they're one of the bigger movie podcasts out there. Again, you don't need the highest audio quality, just good stuff. So yeah, just a basic Logitech gamer headset will get you started.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do anything for your environment, like doing any, you know, recording in the bathroom or anything to get better acoustics, or?
We'll each take our turns answering that question.
Well, me, I'm kind of lucky. I'm also the video media tech at my church, so I got a little more access to stuff, and we actually record in my office there, which has a good sound quality, and as long as nothing's going on, no background noise, so that's good.
I actually record in a fairly similar setting to this, minus the white noise generators I'm picking up in my headset right now. That if you listen to this later, you'll totally hear them quite nicely. I actually record around my dining room table. Sometimes I will wait. If the fridge is going really good, you can pick that up sometimes. So I just wait for the fridge to kick off. If the heater's going, it will pick up furnace noise with this kind of mic. If you're doing like a headset mic setup, you don't need to be near as meticulous with your sound quality. What do you do with yours?
Well, to start with, my day job is at a radio station. So I had a very nice setup where I was actually able to use the radio station. Well, I don't get to use the radio station anymore. So I now basically sit at my dining room table. Same thing, I've got nice high ceilings. I am going to be converting a room in my house into a little studio because it would dampen the sound and make it a little bit better than what it is. But as long as you don't have big, chasm-y, echo-y things going on, you're really going
to
be fine.
And when he says he wants to get better sound, if you listen to the Daily Show or to the Weekly Show, it's sometimes weekly. You can't tell really if there's any background noise at all. It's purely as you. The more you get into this,
the dog walk by.
Yeah, but the more you get into this, the more anal you're going to get about the sound quality and everything else.
I hear some people actually record their podcasts under a blanket to muffle the sound.
And I think T. Morris, who's one of the bigger, he's actually become a podcast novelist. Who he actually records in his closet.
No, that's Sigler, I thought, did that.
Is it Sigler who does
Sigler,
that?
Yeah, he's got a walk-in closet full of clothes.
Sigler's in the closet, what we like to say.
Yes.
Okay.
What's a podcast novelist?
Aha!
Well done.
Glad you asked that question.
Probably
that's,
group.
That's a novelist that couldn't get published, so they decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my book out there. There's a wonderful website called patiobooks.com where there's all kinds of free audio fiction, no matter what you want. Not just the sci-fi geeky stuff. There's historical, there's romance, there's kid-friendly, family-friendly.
Not so family-friendly.
There's some fun ones. And they take and they either just take their book and read it a chapter at a time and release that as individual episodes, or they get other people to actually voice out the characters and they narrate, and they basically release their books for free over the net. And like Scott Sigler, J.C. Hutchins, they get publishing deals. Burr Lafferty, they get publishing deals. Blam.
And
the current issue of Time or the one before? One of the last couple of issues of Time actually had an article about patio books that mentioned all these folks because this is not how you're supposed to get published, and they've done it.
Right.
Again, the internet gives you a whole new avenue of self-publishing because they've also gone out and made their own publishing companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dragon Moon Press for T. Morrison, Pitt Ballantyne, and all these other places. They start out, again, like I was talking about how you have different levels of podcasting. it ranges from JC, who essentially reads his books out and will alter his voice like an audiobook. And you have people like T. Morris who will do ones that are essentially full radio theater productions, complete with sound effects and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm involved right now in one audiobook, Archangel Legion. I do one of the voices on there. So it's you can go, yeah, like you said, just the author himself reading it all the way up to getting full voice cast, doing sound effects, music, soundtracks, everything. It all depends on how much time you have.
This is true. But Sigler's probably the best example because he's had books. The community behind a patio book or a podcast novel is so strong that when one of these books comes out, the day it releases, you can always tell because their book is in the top five books on Amazon every single time.
Well, the also thing is, too, they use the social network to their advantage by saying, okay, everyone, don't buy the book on Amazon until this time, this day. And next thing you see, their book will spike into, like, the top 10.
And a great thing about the podcast community is that overall, they're very helpful. They're very friendly. They'll do whatever they can. When I actually first started doing a podcast, I started with Screen Geeks, went over to a website called firstshowing.net and did theirs. And shit,
I didn't say anything.
I know. I heard a little boo there.
Sorry. Yeah. Those boo words. They're saying boo words.
There you go. But we had people who would listen to our show and actually would say, you know, we've been doing this for a while. Just go buy a $100 mic and $100, you know, a $50 soundboard. You're good to go. You know, so people will be always offering all kinds of advice to you, which is, it's a beautiful thing because there's a lot of support out there for free.
Because everybody doing a show once started out and had to get help from other people. Mm-hmm. So it's your way of paying it back.
Most definitely.
P-O-D-I-O books.com.
They have crime noir with Seth Harwood stuff. Yeah. If you want something to listen to, there's plenty out there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is wonderful. There's this whole world of free entertainment out there. That's just great. I brought up Skype earlier. Sometimes you're not going to be able to have someone in your neighborhood to do a podcast with. Skype is a beautiful thing because it's free and the audio quality doesn't completely suck.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone on a headset, it's actually probably going to be pretty close to how your headset comes through when you do your Skype. Haven't you discovered that pretty much?
Mm.
It might be a little bit of a drop-off, but it still sounds pretty darn good.
I haven't used a Skype in a while, so I got to go refresh myself. I know I'll be using it on Monday, so.
Fair enough. Generally, you need to have a DSL connection. The low brand Quest, since we got Quest out here, the 1.5 meg download, 1 meg upload, does great for doing Skype, as long as you're not doing video, which most people don't. It's a whole other world of pain and pain in the butt.
There's just so many more extra problems that can go on with video casts.
Don't start with a video cast.
Oh. No, please. Take it easy.
Yes.
You can branch out and do other things. The Geek Label show we used to do, guy that ran that, he's now doing his own, you know, patio
book. He's actually doing a podcast comic book, right?
Yeah, it's a podcast comic book. It's called Meta Mediocrity, and he'll do a podcast to start with, you know, hey, everybody, what's going on? And then the episode will be after it, since you can listen to it. It's like, well, that's kind of cool. Or he's got it where you can download just the episode if you don't want to hear the rambling. So and a lot of different ways to set it up for folks.
Yeah, a lot of the podcast novelists will end up doing a chapter a week. They'll bang it out like crazy. Jay came up with a great way where you actually, he does it, I just come up with short stories here and there. So as he comes up with something, he puts it out there.
Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
No deadlines.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Although I have to do a show every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Gosh.
And then sometimes weekly.
That's another big key, though, is consistency.
Yeah.
If you can do a weekly show, again, that's why I'm saying don't worry about doing an hour and a half long show. If you're doing this every week for an hour and a half, to begin with, if you aren't prepared to do that, you're going to burn yourself out. That's probably the biggest problem in podcasts right now. It's called pod fading, where someone just gets tired of it. They don't have the time for it anymore. Some really quality shows have dropped off just because life gets in the way sometimes.
Well, also just sometimes you may have a great start, but then by the time you get to episode 10, you're like, okay, what do I keep talking about?
I've got nothing left to say. So. There's nothing wrong with not overstaying your welcome.
Don't overstay. Movies. Anymore. Well, that's a good idea. There's always movies coming out. Brilliant. What was that thinking?
And there's always stuff you can rant about on GeekCast.
Yes, sir.
Well,
quick question. Oh. You said doing an hour podcast, because I do listen to you guys speak.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How long does it take you to actually produce one of those if it's an hour-long show?
It very much depends. Like we were talking about earlier, you can either do things live with software, Jazzler Show, Audacity, things like that, or you can go through, record all the audio and put in your out sound drops, put in your ads, put in your intro outro music, if you do that realm of things, it's for an hour-long show, it could take 2 or 3 hours very easily.
About 2 or 3 hours a week is what you're thinking if you're doing a weekly show.
That's a good plan to start with. At least double or triple the time that your actual show is, and that's how long it's going to take to edit it.
It's never going to go as smooth to start with as you think it is.
Yeah.
You will hit a point. Mm-hmm. Right now, we do the show live. There's almost never any kind of edits that I do at all. So once it's done, I drop it down on my computer, encode it in, re-encode it into the MP3 format I want, dump it up, and away we go. Just sometimes work gets in the way, so it delays a couple days.
It'll happen.
It just happens.
Life.
And then how do you get it? How do you get, like, the podcast companies that put it out there to allow you to put it on their site and say, hey, download it from here or download it?
We will get to that shortly with the marketing. Yes. Let's finish up a little bit just with a little bit higher end equipment, because once you get started, you're going to listen to other podcasts and I want to sound that good.
Mm.
We're here to tell you exactly what you're getting into. This is the biggest part of this, because a lot of people don't realize how much money you're going to spend. To start off with, just say you have two people doing a show. You can pick up a good soundboard, musiciansfriend.com, go to Guitar Center. Guitar Center is awesome because they will work with you on a price. Like this soundboard I've got, it's a PV soundboard. It's got four channels on it for these kind of mics. It was marked like $150. I was like, dude, I've only got 100. Let me see what I can do. Oh, sure, there you go, out the door. A soundboard's probably going to put you back about $100. Depending on what kind of mic you have, I have your shirt in here.
Yeah.
There's two kind of different ways to do that.
Picked it up off of eBay for like $45.
And all this does, it's a kind of mic that you can use. I'll just give you an idea. This is like a regular mic that you see at a concert. Mm-hmm. You just hold it here. It's great for doing interviews and things like that. Like you said, $45. This is called a Behringer B1. I'm actually going to turn Flynn's mic down while I take this off. You'll notice it's a little bit different. This is called a cardioid condenser mic. They tend to run about $100, again, at Guitar Center. Wherever you want to go, you can find them cheaper sometimes. That's a pretty low-end version of this mic, which you want to start off with low-end. I mean, our stuff sounds pretty darn decent for what we do. But here's the thing. You got a cable, too, for $20. So right now, for one person, for the mic, if you go this route, for a soundboard, a mic, and a cable, you're looking at $150, $175 for one person. So it's going to build up consistently. I've got a 3-mic setup with 3 of these guys at my house, and this, that put me back, what, $400 or $500. So before you make this leap, make sure you do at least like 10 episodes or so. Make sure you really want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to buy more and more and more stuff. Once you're done, you can have your soundboard output to a PC like Chris does,
right,
where you can record. I like to have things a little bit quieter. So I went out and bought an iRiver. I think it's a model 895. They don't make them anymore, but you can find them on eBay sometimes. It's actually got a line-in input on it. So everything that I'm recording is actually going through this thing right now. And it was like $80. Which, you know, for being able to do that, you can also get a mic kind of like this and plug it in so you can go out on the road and do recording and all that stuff. It's all how you want to do it. You can spend as much or as little money as you want to. That's the big thing. There are higher-end mics that cost $150, $200 each.
But you don't usually have to go with those kind of mics, because a lot of those mics, you start getting into the vocal mics for singing and stuff, and you certainly don't need that kind of level of quality for what you're doing. So,
absolutely. Depending on where you go, I went out and bought, I was talking about my field recorder that I bought a few months ago. I bought it because we're planning on going to Comic-Con someday, and I want to be able to do stuff on the road. Didn't work out this year, but that's okay. We're using it this year. Here. So that was $500, but it's going to do everything that I want it to do. I can podcast on the road completely, use these mics. It's got, you know, the inputs for these with the power to them. What I want to do is get you set up, and then you're going to discover what you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to work best. Initially, if you buy a soundboard and mics, just run it through your PC. If you don't like the sound you get, you can look into, you know, doing an iRiver, doing a field recorder, getting a better sound card for your computer. There are little tweaks that you'll discover that you can do.
Yeah.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
But the laptop works just fine, I think. As long as you have a separate one. That's another mm-hmm. issue I learned. Record on one laptop, play all of your silly drops and stuff off of another.
Yeah, and I'll lift this up just to show y'all what is on this soundboard. It's got the 4 inputs for these kind of mics. It has what's called phantom power, which is another thing to consider. This doesn't require phantom power, the cheaper mic. The expensive ones do. It's essentially a power overdrive. These are powered mics. They need to have power sent out to them, so this kind of board will do it. At the same time, if you're on the cheap and you want to do sound effects and you don't have the laptop and stuff to do, if you have an MP3 player and an iPod, this little jack right here, you can pick up, I think it's like $10 at Walmart or Target, because I know Walmart's the devil.
Walmart this way comes.
Yeah. It's a converter from the 1/8-inch jack on your headphone jack to these two RCA ports, and you can control the sound from here. So you crank it up on the iPod, and when you have your sound queued up...
That.
Yes, yeah, that's precisely it right there.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I use. I plug this into my soundboard, plug this into my computer, and that's what I go record through.
It's a nice, cheap, easy, quick way, because chances are a lot of people have MP3 players today. So if you have your audio music, create a silent portion, so you can pause it and not go intro music, outro music. Oh, crap, got to start over again. It gives you a little bit of a buffer room. Give yourself as much room for mistakes as possible. But that way, you've come up with a free way to import stuff in through your soundboard so you can get a clean mix once you're ready to go that route.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah?
Same thing, because I've got that same kind of cable from my laptop and the Jazzle show I was telling you about. It sets up like a radio station. Being a radio guy, that works really well for me. I can collect a bunch of drops, like when we do a commercial break. I collect my drops, everything I'm going to play, throw it, it's over here on the side, and I push play, and it just sequences. It plays one after the other. I've got a nice countdown, so... Literally, someone will go run, grab a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever, and come scrambling back just in time for us to do the show. We could pause it, but I like that feel of it being the radio. Works for me.
It does.
Instead of doing the drops like that, like I do with mine doing post-production, I'll turn this around so you can see. With GarageBand, you get all these are different tracks, and so I have sound files that as soon as I say, okay, I want to put this, here's my file for my opening sound, this is for this promo I'm going to play or whatever, voicemails or such. I just put it on a different track, and then I just adjust where it fits, and that's how I do mine. So I got a little more in post-production. Billy likes
But the beautiful thing is, if you do it that way, or even my way, that way is going to help you a lot more. You'll also be teaching yourself a trade, because radio day job, that's how we make commercials. You record vocals, you import music, you know, you throw in your music you're going to have, whatever sound effects you might have. It's the same kind of thing.
And if you're going to be going for the patio book, the author route there.
Well, I am.
You're going to definitely be doing it this way, especially if you get voice actors. Because, like with me, I record my lines and then email it to the author, who then assembles everything into what he's doing.
Which, since we're talking software very quickly, for you, especially writer, if you're going to have other people do lines of your work, all of the vocal levels are never going to be the same.
Right.
So, Levelator is another free program.
Levelator.
There you go.
ATOR. Okay.
Yeah, which will take, obviously, everything and levelate it. So. That's helpful too.
Yes.
Because when you can't control your own audio, that's why I love the board so much. Because I've picked up a board for $150, and you can watch, test everyone, talk, get your nice levels and go.
The biggest key to starting a podcast, don't be afraid to suck, because you are going to suck at the beginning.
Please. Anything you feel bad about, go back and listen to the first episode. First 10,
of any of
20
our episodes.
Episodes of my show. Please.
I don't even think my
They're
first
horrible.
10 are on the internet anymore.
So it's good.
You've been banished from the... Okay.
My first episode is never going to see the light of day.
Yeah?
Ever.
Oh, no, no.
Recorded at my desk at work with a coworker.
My official first episode messed up and never even saw the light of day.
Wow.
So you're not going to be perfect when you start out the gate. That's the biggest thing. You need to accept that fact, because as you talk with each other, you're going to build a chemistry naturally. It's like when you become friends with a person. The more you talk with them, the more you get in sync, the more you can work off of each other and things like that. That's why I suggest doing a show with friends.
And if at all possible, have them in the same room. Obviously, Skype, sometimes you just can't, but there's nothing better than that person in the same room. You've been doing the show for a while. You get the visual cues from them. You know.
Visual cues are so much help. It's a little more awkward when doing it over Skype, I found.
Yeah, oddly enough, they can't see this.
Yes.
Well, and
it's my Lost, so I play my Lost on an Island drop whenever we talk about Lost.
You will also get those signature drops that people know with your show, like the ding with it.
Ding, geekradiodaily.com. Ding, whenever, because it came from the geek label side of it. So whenever we mentioned the site, we were basically pimping the site. So we're plugging it. So I just got a bell, the old-fashioned bell, ding, and that's still stuck with us today. We're not T-shirts anymore. We're a different thing altogether. But everyone knows us as geekradiodaily.com. Ding. And it was his day.
Well, the funny thing is, too, now that I listen to other shows, I think it was like Slice of Sci-Fi, they do a voicemail show. And anytime anyone calls in and they have a website, now they have the ding. And
Trendsetter, baby. Woo!
Yep.
There you go.
So
2 years ago I was nothing, and now I'm on this panel.
All the way from Virginia.
All the way from Virginia.
There you go.
So it was 4 a.m. my time last night when the poker game ended.
Yeah. Kind of rough.
So,
yeah, there
it?
You go.
I have no idea what time.
Well, to me, it's 7:30 since I'm from Seattle.
He's from Seattle, so he's really messed up.
Yeah, and I just live 50 miles south. To get to your question, sir, marketing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to talk about that.
We were talking earlier about how open and wonderful the podcast community is.
Mm-hmm.
Not only will you get constructive criticism, essentially find the podcast you like. Once you get a show going, email them. Say, hey, check out my show. Would you be willing to run an ad for me? It's really that simple.
Well, we think we need to take a step back and then say, where are you actually going to be putting your show? I mean, how do you host your show?
That's true. You know, hosting, let's start there.
Let's go with hosting first.
Hosting is how you have your podcast on the internet available for people to download. What are some of the free options? Because I don't know
if there's any free options anymore ever since Podango failed.
Okay.
The cheapest option I know out there right now is Libsyn. I think you can do as cheap as $5 a month, and they give you a blog page and about 500 megs a month.
I've got a better deal than that. What do you use, sir?
I use a friend. Someone who found our show early on and really, really liked us and encouraged us to keep doing what we were doing. We now host on his site because other site, blah, 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 it's gone. But Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, that's literally his name, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, runs his Requiem of the Outcast. And he's got a whole bunch of shows under his banner, and he hosts all of our stuff on his server. And all I really have to do for him is to play ads for him and talk about what a really cool guy he is. And he is. He's a dream.
I personally use a website called oneandone.com. It's the number one, the word and the number one.com. You get charged $30 every 6 months. I have 2 free domain names as part of that. I owned another website and have since given that to someone else. I think I get 1.5 terabytes of throughput a month, which when you're starting up is more than you need. You get like 200 gigs of storage space. It's a beautiful way to start things up. Now, the downside is with Libsyn, they give you a blog page so you can kind of start your own thing up. Going the one-in-one route, you're writing your own website from page one. Granted, there's this beautiful program out there. It's called WordPress.
Mm.
If you are not familiar with making a website, just WordPress. That's all you need to know. Because it's essentially an entire web publishing platform, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Because I just use it just to publish our shows, put our show notes up and stuff. I don't even use it from the website.
AOL Press.
Did it?
Wow. Oh, it's an AOL Press.
I actually talked to a guy about a year ago who was one of the writers on the initial version.
Wow. I feel a little bad.
And what, because you're using something AOL?
Because we're using something AOL Press.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know.
But I'm not a pedophile. How could I be using AOL stuff?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Dude.
You went there.
Here's why you want to use
editing software.
Well, editing software.
This is why you do post-production if you're those guys. Because there's always someone like me.
With PodPress, if you go to Geek Radio Daily, if you go to thejesusgeeks.com, if you go to screengeeks.com, there's this neat little player in there. You click play, it buffers it, and streams it live.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plugin for WordPress. You tell it, well, here's where the file is. It pops on the website for you, and away you go. So the publishing side of things is very easy. From there, once you have what I generally tend to do, man, there's 2 ways to do the RSS feed, really, aren't there?
Yeah.
I do it the hard way. I do.
Of course. Of course you do, Dex.
Yeah. Hey, shut it.
Okay.
There's a website out there called feedburner.com. FeedBurner. A lot of websites use this. Essentially, mm-hmm. when you have a website uploaded to the internet, you go in there, you create your feed, and you just put in the link to the file itself. And from there, it creates a feed for you, which you can go into iTunes. And when you go under podcast, there's a spot that says submit podcast. You put in your RSS feed. There's a little bit of an authentication process that says that, yes, this is your RSS feed. These are your files. And congratulations, you're on iTunes. It's really that easy.
Also, one of the benefits for FeedBurner, I mean, you don't have to use FeedBurner because you just plug in your RSS directly from your website. But one of the things I found when I moved around my podcast and stuff is there's more than iTunes out there, like we said, and you have to go in there and submit your RSS feed for every podcast aggregator out there. And if you change, then you have to go back. Every time you change, you have to go back to every one of these sites. But if you do FeedBurner, all you have to do is go to FeedBurner and change the originating site there, and then it will automatically... Plus, all those other sites are then all looking to the FeedBurner RSS feed.
It's essentially a backdoor that saves you a heck of a lot of trouble. Yeah, and then you submit it to all of them, Podcast Pickle, whatever ones you want to do. They'll put them out there. People can review you. You can beg for reviews on your podcast, which I need to do more of.
Apparently.
Yeah, I think I've got like three. You know, but as you get, yeah, you're up to 50, aren't you?
Yeah, but look how long I've been doing this.
That's true. That's true. And the other thing is to reach out. Once you've got your RSS feed, you are set. You have a podcast. You are ready to go start pimping yourself out.
Yep.
Find the podcast that you like, first of all. Actually, first of all, you need to come up with an ad, probably.
Yeah, an ad would help. You just say to people, hey, you should go listen to my stuff. And they might go, okay, sure. But if you have a little something, a little 30 or 60 seconds.
Yeah, never more than 60 seconds.
Please, no. Because there's people I love. There's people I love that they've sent me promos that are longer than 60 seconds. And it's a radio thing. I thought it was a radio thing. That's why it bugged me. But talking to other folks, I've learned, no, if you go more than 60 seconds to talk about one thing and it's not the show itself, they're fast-forwarding.
Well, especially when you do a show that's only 15 minutes, that's a big chunk of your time.
15 minutes and I got a two-minute promo? Oh, goodness. That's insane.
So, and when you do a promo, it can just be, hey, this is so-and-so with this. Come check out my podcast. This is what it's about. This is where you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Wapcaplets.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Wapcaplets.net. Podcast about gaming. It's a 10-minute show. He's got a 10-second promo. So even if people send me something that's 45 seconds, oh, I need to fill out that minute. Hey!
Wapcaplets. Well, use that one. And then proceed to go reach out to your podcast that you like. Sometimes people won't respond either, A, because they get lost in with other emails. Sometimes some podcasts, there's one that I like a lot called Geeks On, which I know.
I listen to that one.
They have a policy not to listen to podcasts. They've said as much recently. If you have less than 10 episodes, we're not going to talk about you. Because a lot of people don't even make it to 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. Which, if you've spent the $20 in a headset and you find out you don't like it, you're out $20. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Or if you're like us and you think, I don't want to do this anymore, then you look at the equipment you spent money on, like, oh, well, maybe I should keep.
Well, it's either that or making the music studio at my house. That's more money. I think I'll stick to podcast.
Exactly. So not every podcast you submit to will play your ad, will talk about you, but a lot of them will. Mm-hmm. So if someone says, if they don't respond to you, if they say, we're not quite thinking it's a right fit or whatever, keep going. People will talk about you.
Well, the whole promo swap. I mean, if you're going to play my promo, I'm definitely going to have to play your promo. It's just a common courtesy out there.
Yeah, most of the time when people play promos, whether it's during our commercial break, your commercial break, you have a little bit different scenario occasionally where sometimes people will pay for an ad on your show.
Occasionally. Occasionally we do get sponsors.
But for the most part, it's all a big networking loop. So if you say, hey, I'll be happy, I'd love to run your promo, usually they'll come back and say, hey, do you have one that I can run for you? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's good to have a promo running. I've got one that was based around the elections that I need to make a new one, but I have something ready to go out there. And mine's one of those over a minute ones that I've got to trim down.
It's not that bad. What is it, a minute 10?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's a minute 10.
Well, yeah, if it's a minute 10 and it's at least works and it's entertaining, we'll probably make an exception.
So that's really just getting out. If you hit forums, you know, say you do a BSG podcast, which is kind of odd considering the show's over now. You have Caprica coming.
Still more to rant.
Yeah. And you hit the BSG boards all the time. Once you start a show up, say, hey, everyone, I've started this podcast. Mm-hmm. Give it a listen and let me know. Your listener feedback is going to make your world life so much easier.
Yeah. Galactica Quorum is a really, really big one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, they took the hell out of their show.
Oh, got to. No one's going to pimp it for you.
I heard them on three different podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. People, the marketing for the most part is going to be free, but no one's going to, and people will do it for you.
Well, I'd also say back to the forums thing. If you've, most of the time when you make an account on any bulletin board or forum, they always have that little part where you can put your signature.
Yes, indeed.
You put your website and your podcast and your tagline on there. When I say tagline, I mean like with mine, it's like exploring the entertainment, culture, and the geek lifestyle from a Christian point of view. And I put that in there, put my website, and there we go. So anytime you post anything, even if it's nothing related to your podcast, it's still there.
And it's unintrusive. You're not making...
Right.
You know, if you're not comfortable with going out there and saying, hey, listen to my podcast, it's great! If you put it in your signature, it's there. And a lot of people are like, oh, they do a podcast. Let me check that out. It's a nice little passive version of marketing. Mm-hmm. But you have a tagline too. You said you're going to get to it, so I'll let you get to it.
All the geek without the wait.
Because it's a 15-minute show every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. You wake up, boom. You wake up, plug in, it's there. Especially here, Because I've already had the show done for 2 hours before you wake up.
Yeah, he posts every morning at 5 a.m. our time.
So, oh, it is 5 a.m. your time. I thought it was only 1 hour difference. That's really been messing me up once I got here.
But don't be the other route. Don't be too obnoxious and turn people away either.
Yeah. So. It's a very fine balance. And a lot of it is if you watch what other people do, you'll pick up pretty much how things are done. And never be afraid to ask someone a question. I've brought up T. Morris a couple of times. He's actually written Podcasting for Dummies books.
Great books.
He's on Twitter under T. Monster. There have been times I'll just shoot him a Twitter, hey, I'm looking at doing this mic. What do you think? And every time he's responded.
One of the things I do suggest, again, with T. Morris, he speaks on social networking. And if you go to look up Imagine That Studios, which is his production company, he's releasing a great video series right now called Anti-Social Networking, which talks about using Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, and everything. And even though it's not specifically for podcasting, everything he teaches you in there will help you in how to promote your podcast through social networking. It talks about what to do, what not to do, how not to be too obnoxious, how not to get in people's faces, and just properly get out there and do a lot of the networking.
And once you... Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
How do you get guests? I know that's a...
That's...
I don't mean to jump again.
No, that's where I was going exactly next. Yeah. So you are good, sir.
I noticed that I hear, like, Slice of Sci-Fi. They seem to be able to get guests like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
They got a good network behind them.
They do.
Yes.
A lot of it is just getting out there.
They ask for the donations too. You know, they're every week. It's like, hey guys, you need to donate so we can keep the show going or whatever. You know, and they go to Comic Con and Dragon Con and all these cons. And
a lot of it is, if you want to talk to guests specific to your field or getting guests on the show, I tend to a frequent guest on my show is Christopher Stipp, who writes for Kevin Smith's news site, Quick Stop Entertainment. He started listening to us one day, and he's like, I love you guys. So he comes on the show. Sometimes you'll have people contact you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll just because BSG is so big right now. Say you want to talk to Richard Hatch. You go to his website and shoot an email to the info thing for right now. Hey, I do this podcast. I'd love to talk to Mr. Hatch. Be very respectful. Because one thing that's – you asked what's one thing that's lacking in the podcast community? It's professionalism.
Mm. There is that.
When you're asking someone – who's to be a guest on your show, you're asking them to give their time to you for free. So if you're respectful, which is very much in the real world press, if you want to call mainstream press, it's very much, sir, these are, you know, be prepared to be able to give how many listeners you have a week, how many hits you get a month, all that stuff. Because they're going to ask you all the time. But a lot of people, I mean, there are certain guests here this week that have said, I will talk to anyone who wants to talk to me. I'm not going to bring up their names because I don't want to get in trouble because I'm the assistant press media relations guy and I don't want to get in trouble with my boss.
Excuse me.
That's a good point. Don't do that. Did he kill it again?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I think this power supply might be gone. There it goes. All right.
So this is a power supply. You've been blaming us this whole time.
Yeah, totally. It might be. I don't know. We'll see.
The other thing, when it's podcasting, it's always someone else's fault.
Yes. Exactly.
You always have a fault guy.
So once you hit a point where you hit a certain number of hits and everything, don't be afraid to work your relationships. My co-host Barry, who teaches film at UCCS, grew up on Maui. One of his friends is the morning DJ on the number 2 radio station for Maui and the surrounding islands. We now do the weekly movie review for Wild 105.5 FM, which has opened doors for us. You know, I got to go to a screening for Battle for Terror a couple days ago. Got to see it in 3D for free. Woo! You know, and once you hit a point where you hit certain, if you can anchor yourself to a terrestrial radio outlet, which is going to be very difficult for a lot of people, it opens a lot of doors for you. Mm. If you're just doing a podcast, it's tough. I'm not going to lie to you because, like I said, anyone can make a podcast, and anyone does.
Mm-hmm. Also, with this getting guests, so you said Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm with Farpoint Media as well.
That's the group.
Right. And there's
a... Talk about you guys, too.
I'm very thankful. It's been a good experience being with Farpoint. But also with them, I get a lot of the mass emailings, and it's a whole network thing. I mean, people, they just shoot back and forth, hey, I got this connection with this guy. Does anyone else want to try to get them for their show? And another thing, too, is if you have a podcast that's pretty much based directly on a show like Galactica Quorum, and you really are pushing a show and you're doing a good job, a lot of these shows will sometimes reach out to the podcasts. Mm-hmm. And they will start helping to promote stuff. I know I've been hearing a lot of stuff through the, I can't remember the name of the podcast, apologize, but it's on the Farpoint Media for One Tree Hill. And it's through some of these emails, it seems like the producers of One Tree Hill are really working with that podcast.
You brought up Farpoint Media.
Yes.
Farpoint Media is essentially a network of podcasts. They do a lot of the promotion. They do a lot of stuff for you. I just to show you just how easy this can be, it won't be for everyone, mm-hmm. How did you get involved with Farpoint Media?
Well, when I got started on this, like I said, I was listening to Slice of Sci-Fi, and just they were kind of my inspiration for this. And about a year after I was into this, I just fired Mike Menegay an email saying, hey, if I was ever interested in coming on board, what would I have to do? What are the steps? And next thing I know, I'm having their business director emailing me and say, yes, we'd like to get you on. But then he's like, okay, for you to be part of Farpoint, we need to start seeing you have to be going on a regular schedule. Which at the time I wasn't. I was probably a week to 2 weeks, maybe even a month between episodes. So we got on the normal schedule for that. We had to improve our audio quality, which then made me go out and get the mics, and get the soundboard, and then just slowly working step by step. And then January of this year, moved over to Farpoint, and it's been pretty good. And then one of the benefits with that is I don't have to pay for hosting. I don't have to pay for distribution. They handle everything. And then, again, they're trying for the whole ad revenue market, selling ad on my show. So we'll see how that goes.
Do you think that because yours is more of a niche, it was easier for you, or do you think any quality program could go that route?
I will say I think me being in the niche kind of helped me get into Farpoint because they wanted to fill that niche. But I will also say being in this niche has probably been a little harder because being a pretty bluntly a very Christian podcast, and when we get into theological discussions, I don't hold back. I do talk exactly what like the Bible says, and I do think that probably also then kind of for the overall marketing and audience, it probably could hinder it. But to be blunt, I'm also not into this to get the numbers. I'm in here because I have something to say, and I'm arrogant enough to think there's people out there that want to hear what I have to say. So.
And that brings up another point. If you get 20 downloads a week, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering how many podcasts are out
there. There are 20 people in the world who think highly enough of what you have to say that they want to hear what you have to say.
I remember the day our subscriptions hit double digits. I was so proud.
Oh, yeah. That is the biggest day you'll ever hit as a podcaster. When you hit triple digits, you'll be like, this is awesome. But remember when we hit that 10? Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yes.
What about when you first get that listener response, that first
email? That first email you get, that makes you'll be hooked on podcasting the rest of your life, mm-hmm. no matter what. And you know, I think we actually need to wrap this up so the next one can get in here.
Wow, okay.
But we'll hang out in the hallway and talk more?
Sure.
Does that sound good? Sir.
You said this is going to be on your podcast where?
Screengeeks.com. ScreenGeeks.
Yeah, I think we all it's going to make
I'll
this available.
I'll probably make it through. I'll send it to all you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. And yours?
TheJesusGeeks.com.
And yours?
GeekRadioDaily.com. Ding. Yes, thank you.
Just recently downloaded it because you talked about it. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't.
See, that's really fun. Back when he was Screen Geeks the first time around, I heard them do a show talking about the differences between HD, DVD, and Blu-ray.
Which one's going to get. Because here's the thing, when you find a niche, when I did something like that, I contacted a local high-end AV store. Hey, I want to do a show about this. Would it be okay? Would you be up for doing a demonstration of both? They set us up in their $100,000 home theater room, hooking up a Blu-ray player and an HD DVD player. Gave us the full spiel and everything. And we had, you know, 5-10 listeners at a time. But they're like, hey, absolutely, we'll get the word out, because it's marketing for that business, too. Mm-hmm. So, with that, other people are filing in, so I'm going to stop recording now. Hope you enjoyed it, those listening, and you're missing out on the stuff that's being talked about outside.
Aw, thank you. It's so sweet.
Absolutely.
Also, quick.